This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 560-something. 65. I'm Brian Kilby. Thank you guys for covering last week. I was out preparing for something for work, and really appreciate your willingness to just step in quickly and run with the ball.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to be on last week, but then I realized I had to be here to save the show.
You know, the show was really good.
Yeah, it was actually a lot of fun. So without any specificity, did your work thing end up going okay?
Won't know for a couple days.
Okay.
Yeah, won't know. But we'll see. But yeah, great job, Diecast, hosting.
Thank you.
Yes, and great job to everybody else who is here for supporting and doing your part. So with me, Diecast, Don, Matt, Chris, a.k.a. XV. I guess Matt's a.k.a. Melvar, but yeah, trying to break kayfabe. then we have Eric, Jason, and I believe John's here, too.
He is.
No, yeah. Nice.
Awesome.
He is always here.
He is
whether you know it or not.
John is our resident Vortilon.
John's awesome. Every time we like try and set up like a convention that we're all going to go to, we're always trying to get John on board.
John usually goes, especially if it's like BotCon. He's going to TFCon this year.
Well, there. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. If you schedule a BotCon, let me know.
Yeah, he would always go to BotCon. That was a given. Now we have to like make sure he's going to go to an event.
So he's
the first one I met at BotCon.
Really?
Yeah, John and I met waiting in line.
That's how it always happens.
That's a fact.
It's kind of funny.
I recognize you by your voice because I had never seen you on video, so I had no idea what you looked like. But I heard your voice, and I was like, "That's John DeLuna, I think."
Is that how we recognize not Paladin? Is that how we recognize Fort Max?
Yeah, you recognized Fort Max, I think. You were the first one. And then JD tried to get Fort Max's attention, and that became its own infamous story.
God, that was great. Actually, we'll talk a little more about BotCon here in a minute. So, I guess, I'm trying to catch up. So, you guys didn't happen to mention my issue last week, did you?
No, we realized in like post-show time that we had actually completely forgotten about that, and then we were all disappointed. But then Matt made the great point that, well, we could just like hold it over you this week instead and actually get our full enjoyment out of it.
So let me start off with the Did You Get Anything? So a couple weeks, my last time on the show, or the time before that, I went through a bunch of crap I got from Amazon Japan, and it was all great. Fantastic toys. Like, I love my little Sea Spray here. You know, Sea Spray's awesome. What was not so awesome was that Windblade, one of her wings just immediately sheared off when I was transferring the toy.
Excellent.
Did you establish that it was from Amazon Japan?
I got a bunch of stuff from Japan in a couple days. So Sea Spray was Amazon. That was big bad.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, her wing sheared right off. And, like, the other was just fine, but this one, it like, you even look at it, you can tell that there's no stress on it. It's just one and done. It was, you pushed it, it snapped off. Made me sad, considering it's, like, $40. But now my...
Well, did you follow up with Big Bad? They could probably sort that out for you.
I read the terms of service. They don't do returns or anything on something that has been opened. So, I'm not worried about it so much. Because, you know, now my Titans Return version is upgraded with better tech. So, but yeah, that was a little disappointing. But I got a bunch of other stuff in the interim. I did get this from Amazon Japan. I got Top Spin and Twin Twist, which I honestly didn't think were going to be that much better, but they are really nice than the Titans Return versions. I got Moonracer. She's okay. Not my favorite thing in the world. I got Blackwing or Darkwing or whatever you want to call it. And
let's get dangerous.
Yes, let's get dangerous. I finally got Snarl and Rippersnapper. I don't know which one to do next. Okay, I'll do this one. I got, because I was at Five Below and it was $5, I got the Squeaks thing that dances to music. It's kind of horrible.
Would you say $5?
$5 at Five Below.
Yeah, that's about what that's worth.
It's not. It. Yeah, $5.
It'd be better if. Remember in the early 90s, they had those soda can toys that would contort when you made noise at them?
Yeah.
Yep.
It'd be better if that's what that
I
was.
I thought it. So I. It kind of. If it's not playing anything, it. I think it may.
Oh.
Because. Well, it's just doing its own thing, whether it's playing music or not. Okay, it doesn't. But the big thing I got...
Ruined forever.
Big thing I got, though, the last Cybertron from Toys R Us. Last one.
It's not the last one. I've seen tons of them.
The last one at my 80 Toys R Us near me.
They're restocking them.
Well, mine, the box was beat to hell, but it was complete. And it was only 10% off. So yeah. I kind of, I'm probably not going back before they close, because unless they get Studio Series, there was nothing left in that store worth getting. It was the store's, I'm not going to say it was completely picked clean, but it was picked clean of the good stuff.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, not worth it to me to go back. Hate to say, but I got my Cybertron for $135.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of made the same assessment when I made my last visit to a Toys R Us. It's probably not worth trying to come back or, you know, go to one of the other ones.
Yeah, mine, the closest one is like 25 minutes away. And
yeah, for me, I think I'd have to go about an hour.
I have one that's 25 minutes away, then two that are an hour, and I'm not going to bother.
One of those is Hickory, right?
Yeah, that one sucks.
Yeah, that's not worth going to.
Yeah, that one sucks. So yeah, the Winston store, Don, which I think you went to before you came down a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, the one in Concord. So sadness for me. Oh, but what's not sad is Kim's bringing me soda.
Nice.
And an energy drink. Thank you, Kim. Thanks. You're not on camera. You're not on camera. Okay. Soda.
I can see you.
Diecast cannot see you and she cannot hear you. Okay. Yeah, but that's all I got. But I did get this awesome Rockstar Recovery fruit punch, thanks to Kim. It's delicious.
Maybe you should like lay down some tape lines on the floor to show where the video frame would get someone in or not.
There you go.
So it terminates right now at my left shoulder. So she wasn't going to get that far. But yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Diecast, you got a ton of crap.
Yeah. Maybe you should go last then.
Okay. Don, what'd you get?
I got a couple things this week. Thanks to the, it's not Transformers, but it's Transformers related, kind of. I was able to get two complete sets of classic 84 Voltron, one for me and one for Matt. So I was able to pick up two of the classic Voltron sets, with some of it on clearance and some of it wasn't.
How much did you spend? What with Dynamics about what did that run?
Actually, there wasn't much Dynamics involved. Both of our sets worked out to be about 84 for all five lions, which is about 40 less than what retail would have been, give or take.
Wow, so that's really nice. I really want that set, and I really want the set they have at Sonic. It comes with a kids' meal.
Yeah, and second time's the charm. I picked up the Warbot Daisy. This is the second one I've had. The first one came in from the eBay seller used, not new, and so I got a refund on it, which worked out well because thanks to the buy it now or the make offer function, I basically was able to make the offer enough to negate the shipping, and I got it for $85.
That's bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah, and with Fans Project maybe or maybe not existing anymore, I kind of wanted to complete the Warbot series because I've got Steel Core and the rest of them. Well, and my Diatlas is treadless in a closet.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a representation out
under
on the
blankets.
Shelf.
Hey, so what's that a retool of?
That's their Alpha Tranix, their Diaclone looking.
Yeah, they made. So Fans Project made their own version of Dia Battles.
Ah, okay.
The same thing that was the first Diaclone reboot figure. So they made their own version, then the color of that is Diatlas.
They should have made a Grandis.
Well, just get that base. And like Eric, I picked up Thundercracker. Got real lucky. Toys R Us got those in. Mm-hmm. Although I will say one thing that weird that happened is the other one that was on the shelf, someone had taken a case cutter and cut lines all into the front, but it was just the Thundercrackers that was done that way. So I'm really not sure what was going on there.
So Dundee, like, if you need to make a decision, do you flip it to see which side it lands on?
What?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That was bad.
And it's a two-faced joke.
Yeah, it's a bad one. It's a really bad one.
I mean, it's bad, but I knew what you were going for.
Yeah. And a completely unexpected, totally out of the blue, went to my Target just because I needed to pick up some Massey food. I didn't feel like going back anywhere else. That was on the way home. Wednesday is usually almost a nothing truck day. Usually Monday is the big day. Wednesday and Friday, something, because I've got a small Target. But Studio Series Blackout was sitting on the shelf, and I thought, yes, I will take one. Thank you very much.
So, you know, we've been assuming based on the Toys R Us computer leak. You know, we're not going to get any more of those. That's a shame. I just realized that. So based on the Toys R Us computer leak from a few months ago, we were assuming the street date for Studio Series was 420, but given Hasbro Toy Shop put up the full range on Monday, and now, like, Don's finding that at Target and having no problem buying
it. Amazon.
Yeah, so probably like 4-2 was the street date, if not the Friday before even.
Hey, and thanks to the person that shared with us, that Diecast, who was that? I can check Twitter real quick, that let us know that those were up on Amazon.
Oh, that was awesome. Let's see.
That was, I would give proper credit, Ginfu Young.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So I was able to snag my own Blackout, which I'll have tomorrow, thanks to same-day shipping. All of them. My budget's a little different than his.
Well, Don, how much was it at Target?
$44.99.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it was your standard leader price. I already had Rod Machine Necronus, but my friend Fred at the Walmart close to where he works found Rod Machine Necronus marked down to $30.
Really?
Already? Yeah,
but we all know every Walmart, every Target is different.
Yeah.
It's like the Lions that I saw that I picked up from me and Matt, the ones that were on clearance for $13 on clearance. Some other stores had them on clearance for $16. It varies from store to store.
I got that Armada Megatron for $20 like 3 weeks after it hit the shelves.
Yeah, was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Target, I mean, it's like the Metal Defender Voltron set. I got the last one of those for $32 for that five pack set, and that just came out not that long ago for the Metal Defender the gift set. So check your Walmarts. The Walmart close to where my friend lives in Roanoke, I picked up Drift. I think I mentioned this a lot. Movie Drift, Steel Bane, and Crowbar for $2.50 a piece.
Did your friend in Roanoke look for toys for you?
I try not to bother them because where they work is the opposite side of town.
Gotcha.
So they'll say, I'm going there. Can we look for anything? And I'll tell them yes or no. But I try not to abuse that because it's really not fair to them to have to.
What you
want to
do is suggest that they change jobs to be somewhere more convenient to those stores so that you can get more mileage out of this.
I'd rather keep the friendship than keep the toys.
Yeah, good for you, Don.
Well, that's the correct choice, but it's not funny.
Since we're Don, anything else?
I've got stuff pending, but I'll probably be here next week.
Yeah, cool. So I'm gonna follow the screen. Matt, do you have anything?
Yes, I do. I got a shipment in from ages 3 and up this week.
Ooh.
So I had previously gotten the Perfect Effect, the Optimus Prime and the white version for Ultra Magnus. So I went ahead and picked up a Legends series Ultra Magnus to put the white Optimus in. So I have an Ultra Magnus, a leader class Ultra Magnus with a separate Optimus Prime.
Even component. More IDW looking one to put the thing that the IDW Magnus doesn't have in it.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, not really, because this one has the red thighs. This one has the red thighs, and
yeah, it comes with that IDW.
Yeah, I thought they changed that. I haven't read it in a while.
But it does have a replaceable chest piece to make it less IDW.
Does the Legends version look better than the one that you get in the gift set, the movie gift set that came out like two years ago?
I've never really looked at the gift set that much, so I couldn't tell you.
Because I got the gift set version. I sold off the rest of them. I didn't want them. I know the paint job is better on it versus the standard Magnus, but I was just wondering how it compared to the Legends.
The blue is better on the Magnus in the gift set, but there's more paint slash like nicer paint applications on the Takara one.
Yeah, the Takara one has a really nice deep dark blue as well. But and it comes with a tiny little Alpha Trion instead of Minimus Ambus. So I love my little Alpha Trion toys. And I got Wave 2 Voyagers. I got Hunger and Alita 1.
I still need those.
Alita 1 is way nicer than Starscream. These stickers are terrible.
Yep.
I hate these Hasbro stickers so much. But
flames shooting out face.
Pretty much.
Good. They'll peel the glue up.
Yeah, Eric, was it you who called Hunger Silverbolt version 2.0?
Yeah.
Like basically the same thing, but upgraded. I agree. It is awesome. And yep. The best part is the Abominus torso has softer plastic antenna, but not like the straight up rubber that the Aerobots had. So it's not going to bend out of shape. And lastly, I got the last two Iron Factory Combaticons I needed to make.
I haven't had a chance to do mine yet, Matt. How did it turn out for you?
Well, as you can see, it is a beautiful figure. I will probably never take it apart because I like them, but they are not fun to transform, and it's not something I'm going to play with.
How well does it hold together? Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. The only thing I heard was that Blastoff's head, the panel that the head is on, it could be kind of tricky as far as some stress marks on a hinge or something. But I said I haven't had a chance to open mine yet, but he looks really good as Bruticus.
And somebody asked me about this set a couple weeks ago. It might have been Jason. And I told him it was very, 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 very parts formery. Yeah. The torso is easily 50% kibble. Put together.
But like, yeah, my Onslaught just came with a bust of Bruticus almost.
Yes, Onslaught is in here somewhere. Like, yeah. these thighs are Onslaught. But the rest of it is just stuff stapled onto Onslaught.
But at least everything has a place for it.
Yes, it all combines together into a trailer for Onslaught to tow along. But
there's actually a mode, I think I may be wrong, but you remember how you used to have like the Ronin Warriors and you could have like the samurai bust with the armor, you know, sitting like partially assembled on the bust. Supposedly you can put the Bruticus pieces on the Onslaught parts and make like a little Bruticus.
The instructions call it the statue mode.
Yeah.
It looks really nice. It is not going to come apart on you. It's not something I'm going to take apart and put together a whole bunch of times, I guarantee. I would buy another one, but only if it's in a Battle Gaia deco. Like, I'm not going to go in for another one if it's just G2 or, you know, a Ruination or something like that. It's going to have to be a special circumstance to get me to buy it again.
But I
like the one I have.
Yeah, I believe it did succeed in being an awesome Bruticus. It's just not worth getting multiple repaints of, like Combiner Wars was.
You know, if it was G2,
size comparison.
Okay, cool. If it was G2, they would call it Big Bad Bruticus, and then you would have to buy it.
I think it'd still be okay.
Besides,
it's the Big Bad Battling Bruticus or a Metamorphin Bruticus, which is Onslaught specifically. So
that's
what
true.
You're saying doesn't even make sense.
It makes sense to me, damn it.
But, yeah, for those without the benefit of video, the size comparison, he is almost exactly the same size as Leader Class Ultra Magnus.
We're talking about what makes sense for third party names.
Yes.
Cool. Anything else, Matt?
No, that's all mine.
You may win the day with that one. Chris, did you get anything?
No.
Eric, what'd you get?
I got Studio Series Thundercracker, thanks to Ant from TFU.info, whose podcast you should definitely check out because it's awesome. But yeah, I was very thankful that he found one because I was worried since the Toys R Us's around me are not getting anything at all, and because they were one of the ones that are first to close down. And so I was worried, like, I'm not going to be able to get this, and he found one. So I like him very much. It's a great reuse of the Nitro Zeus mold, which is a very good mold. I forgot how much I love transforming it. Once I got it, transforming it again, it's really a treat. So, yeah, I'm very glad.
That's a really nice blue on there, too.
It looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was talking to Blade Raider yesterday, and he mentioned how the gray was kind of off. Well, some people didn't like the gray, but actually on a figure that dark, that kind of gray could be, I consider that a highlight, actually, because it helps offset the dark blacks and the blues. So the gray doesn't look near as bad in person to me.
I would agree. Whenever I first saw pictures of it, I was like, what the heck? Why did they do that? And then in hand, it does not bother me. I like it. And I would agree that it is essentially a highlight because it is so much lighter than everything else on here because it's a pretty dark figure overall.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, like, the intent is obviously for that to be the silver Thundercracker's chest on the G1 deco, mm-hmm. but they didn't actually paint it. Or if it's paint, it's not silver paint.
No, it's gray.
You know, if Takara actually does anything with that in their limited legend-esque format, it'd be nice to see what the colors turn into if they choose to do anything with
it. Are they going
to
continue?
Did Takara even do a Nitro Zeus? Like, have they even released this mold? I don't think they have.
No, they have.
Yeah.
Are they just the same?
It's just, you know, most of the last Nightline kind of flew by because it wasn't any different from what we were getting except for Cogman.
Yeah, I was thinking like the movie The Best or something like that. I mean, yeah, so,
I was thinking, might they continue movie The Best and incorporate the studio stuff?
I feel like the second assortment of movie The Best that came out this year was something that they decided to do before they knew they were going to be releasing Studio Series stuff alongside Hasbro, like, basically simultaneously. So I think Studio is probably going to take the place of whatever other movie The Best stuff they would have done.
Cool.
Yeah, because they had Lockdown side by side, their movie The Best Lockdown, which was just sad next to the the Studio Series Lockdown. It was at the most recent. I was gonna say, I think it was at Wonderfest, but it was just, I was dying looking at the two of them. I think they might have even, was it a Jazz that they are they doing a Jazz
yeah,
from
there's
old
a movie, the
old
Jazz?
Yeah, so they had that next to it too, and I'm just like, that's sad. That's not gonna sell, but oh well.
Anything else, Eric?
I don't think so.
Jason has nothing. John, do you have anything?
Nope.
Well, Diecast, take it away.
All right. I did get a Thundercracker also from Toys R Us. I also picked up one for Rick Alvarez because he said he needed one while I was still in Toys R Us. So
Don, he's on your podcast. Why didn't you get it for him?
Because he didn't ask me.
Okay.
He didn't want the two-faced one.
And I'll go with one of the bigger items.
The big bad Thundercracker.
Yes. Well, that thing is big.
Yeah.
I want that to actually be a computer. I would use that.
Well, put a tablet in it, but the only thing is, and I won't go into, you know, what I feel, there's a panel here. So if you put a tablet in, you can't use the tablet. Like, you can put a movie in and start playing the movie and watch the movie, but you have to pretty much take the thing apart
a laptop to it. I mean, a keyboard to it.
No. A Bluetooth keyboard, maybe. But that it's still not going to be the same because
Bluetooth mouse and Bluetooth keyboard, you're set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, does that have the G1 sounds? I think this solicitation said it had sounds and lights.
It has sounds?
I couldn't find them. It looks pretty high.
Hang on, let me look. I thought the thing said it had, unless there's more than one of those floating around.
It's third party. Assume that there is.
Right.
It's so, probably knockoff that has the sounds because it's better.
I did record the review before the show. I just have to edit it and post it. So I'm hoping to have that up tonight.
And hoping that there are no sounds that you left out of the review.
Yeah. And hopefully everyone can check it out because it seems like on Twitter there's been a lot of interest about this.
Can you post a picture of it with the deluxe so Chris can see it? Not on the YouTube video.
No, I will not.
Well, now with the
which people seem to like Clear Soundwave. Ooh. Clear Masterpiece Soundwave, which is it's very nice, but it's scary.
Don wants
he
it.
Does have some nice.
Not really. No, I don't.
The back.
Not really.
I do.
Diecast. Okay, is this is the one by X2 Toys, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading the product description. Features light and sound effects. Requires 8 AAA batteries, not included.
Jeez.
Compatible with BA-A background sets.
It doesn't have any sounds that I've found.
Did you put 8 AAA batteries in it?
No, it takes 8 AA batteries.
I'm sorry, AA. My fault. I misread that. I'm sorry.
Did you put 8 AA batteries in it?
Yes, I did. I got the lights working, but there's nothing I can see to make it do sounds.
Shake it and throw it. Maybe that'll work.
If it helps, there is a picture on Big Bad Toy Store with MP10 standing in front of it. So if that helps for scale.
I thought that was supposed to help with sounds.
I was going to say, I was like, how's that going to help with the sounds?
You stand MP10 in front of it and it makes sounds. Yeah,
that's all I can say is watch my review. I even put a deluxe in front of it because I know that's something Chris wanted to see and I refused to do it on Twitter.
But now also, doesn't Toy Hacks make the background lithographs of the inside of the arc that could possibly work in tandem with these?
Sure.
Possibly. They do make them, but I don't know if it would match up or color match or anything.
Yeah.
What else did you get? Anything cool?
I also got the Soundwave. Laser Wave. Their Shockwave Lost Planet, which is the, I believe it's upscaled. I haven't opened the box yet, but.
So, are there any other instances where third parties use the Japanese name for a toy?
Probably.
I mean, it's just interesting to me because it seems like that Takara would have some sort of way of taking advantage of that.
And then I know Chris is going to like this. I bought the worst Transformers movie again because it came with the statue. It's the Grimlock Riding Prime statue. What's that?
I was going to say, that's not the worst movie.
It's not.
This is the worst movie. This is.
I think you need to reverse those documents.
Age of Extinction is the worst movie.
It's the
second
worst.
Not in a universe where Revenge of the Fallen exists.
It's the second worst movie. Arguably third. Some people really hate Dark of the Moon.
Why? Dark of the Moon, I think, is the best one.
Dark of the Moon was an improvement on Revenge of the Fallen, but that's not saying a whole lot.
Yeah,
yeah. This was only $24.99 on Amazon, so
maybe sometimes only $24.99.
That's pretty good.
Maybe on some slow week, we need to like just sit and have a conversation and like reassess what movie is the worst. Like, you know, make a new hierarchy with the whole series behind us now.
I mean. Revenge of the Fallen is definitely the worst, but like,
yeah, we can start with our base point. But
so you can rank the rest, but Revenge of the Fallen is at the bottom, no question.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because it came in my Taobao packaging, but I did not order this.
I bet you paid for it though.
Maybe it's it's a Voyager Prime. The what did they call that truck?
Evasion mode.
Yeah, I don't know. It just came. And then if you watch the post show at all, some of the people in the chat might remember we were talking about that weird Rodimus Prime head.
Oh geez.
Yeah, I got it, and apparently it says Diamond Select Toys on it, and it's 472 of 1500 on the bottom. It's maybe it's old. I don't know. It's just
Yeah, that's nothing I recognize.
I don't recognize it. Yeah, no.
Why did you buy it?
Because it intrigued.
Why do you ever expect him to have a good answer to that question?
No, that's yeah, something. Exactly.
That's actually I vaguely remember that. I just never paid it much attention because it didn't look much like Rodimus.
If that's got Dreamwave era art on, that's really old, probably.
I like crap like that, so I would totally buy that.
It says Comic Shop Locator Service, Comic Shop Locator. That's
diamond.
That's a diamond item.
Yeah, that's diamond.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Diamond. Yeah.
Oh, is there copyright information on it? There might be like a year on that.
Let's see. Sculpted 2007.
Okay.
So it's old. Yeah, we just don't remember it.
Not that
it's
old.
Except Don vaguely does.
Was Eric born yet?
Yes.
So in the chat right now, we're talking about the first episode of RFC back from 1999. And in that, I was slightly older than Eric is now. But
wait, how old were you in the first episode of Radio Free Cybertron?
Like 19.
Really? You were only 19?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like XP was like 15.
Yeah. I thought there was more than 4 years between us, though.
Really? How are you? You're 35 now, right?
34.
There's 4 years between us.
Oh, okay.
I'm 38.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is the right time to mention this.
You're 38 for now.
That's true.
But it's creeping up
for
on
couple,
you,
Brian. For a couple months.
I don't know if this is the right time to mention this, but I got a Pop Venom Pool figure. And I reviewed it on RFC Reviews, and I posted on TF Radio. We posted our first Die Pop cast.
Yes, I thought it was very informative.
I learned a lot.
It was pretty accurate. That's interesting though, because like Venom Pool actually was a thing. Like they did do that story, but that's not what he looked like. Like he was black. Like it was called Deadpool Back in Black, I think, where he had the symbiote, but he didn't look like that. So that's just interesting.
The only thing you need to read for Deadpool is when he crosses over the Brute Force. Other than that,
when he crosses over with Gwenpool is pretty entertaining too. That like even if you don't like Gwenpool, that is a very interesting / funny comic. Yeah. So,
but also I do want to point out that I went to the Toy Hacks website. Sadly, it took me to Toys R Us first, and it said the website was closed. Now I'm sad.
What?
But no, well, you know, yep. website, you know, I went there by
his
mistake.
Autocomplete took him to Toys R Us instead of Toy Hacks.
Yeah,
thank goodness.
It was like, but no, Toy Hacks, they do have Hero Bot and Evil Bot placards and stuff that may work with that big computer. I was thinking correctly on that.
Well, I told you were thinking correctly. I've seen them.
Well, like I said, the full computer, the big computer, I didn't want to talk about too much on the show because I want you to watch the review, especially Chris.
How am I supposed to find anything out about it then?
Okay, hey, let's go ahead and move on to This Week in History. So,
but before that, last week Don issued a challenge to our listeners.
Oh, yes.
We got to talking about, well, Don, why don't you explain what your idea was, since it was your idea.
Okay, we got to talking about something that I had never really thought of before, but would be really interesting, statues based on Feminisms. Like,
does it have to be statues or any kind of art?
Well, that's how it originally started, was statues, because it would be kind of just I don't know. We were talking about other statues, and I'm thinking, I like to see some statues based on Andrew Wildman's work. And then that migrated to some of the stuff based on Simon Furman's
I suggested Yaniger.
Yeah, I like Yaniger. Actually, Manny Galen.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. And that sort of progressed to Rob Clay had pitched in about, whereas the Feminisms might not work for a statue series, it would be a really interesting art exhibit, or I took it to an art book, because it'd be great to see a lot of Transformer artists, professional and amateur, interpreting affirmism in all the different ways it could be done, like a short, sharp lesson in pain, reap the whirlwind, or like a vast predatory bird. And I just asked if anybody did artwork, if they could send them to me on Twitter. I have not received any yet, so
actually,
I haven't seen any.
Yeah, go check your notifications. I also put the link to the tweet in the show notes if Brian would like to take a look at that and maybe put it on the screen quickly.
I didn't see any pictures at all, but I'll
yeah, he sent it in since we started streaming.
Oh, okay, because I was trying to keep my number of windows down to keep my massive bandwidth chugging along.
Oh, Don, that could be so bad out of context.
So it's a drawing. So is he going to make a statue out of it for Don?
No, I think this is for the art book.
Ah, so it's a vast predatory bird.
Let's see, okay.
That is definitely a vast predatory bird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
You started something, Don.
Don started the movement.
So, I mean,
Don started a movement.
Yeah. So, you know, that would be, you know, it's just something I would love to see is how people interpret feminisms in their own mind on paper. It just seems like it'd be a really great project to get some different thoughts from everybody out there.
So everybody who is artistically inclined, you know, and wants to participate in this, make your drawings of, you know, commonly known feminisms or even the lesser known feminisms. Maybe you can surprise us a little bit. You know, draw that, scan it, take a picture of it, whatever. And you can tweet that to TF Radio and make sure to put Headmaster Don on there at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Excellent. 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 That's really cool. That was one of my favorite parts from the show last week, which I finally listened to Monday. But, yeah, great job, Don. Great job, Jared. Okay, yes. This week in history. We're talking about BotCon, and I went a little more recent than normal with This Week in History, but I wanted to talk about this. It was the first day of the last BotCon.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's the only one I actually got to go to.
Whatever reason, I remember the one in Chicago or whatever the town.
St. Charles,
like the year before. I didn't like that building so much. But
I loved the St. Charles building. Well, that dealer room was huge.
It was huge.
Yeah,
it was huge, but it felt off. It was more like a building that a church would have that they would have like their homecoming in more so.
I was thinking more of it like they put us in like an old abandoned hangar somewhere.
Something like that. Yeah.
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 Which, yeah.
But there was room to move and I appreciated that.
Yes.
I
didn't get to spend a lot of time in the dealer room at 2016, but that was a much more confined feeling space.
Yeah. I like the space of the overall hotel and everything better, but that's me. But I like the St. Charles location. But yeah, that was the last BotCon. I had a lot of fun. We got to see a lot of people, possibly some for the last time. We got to hang out with our buddy Paul. I got to finally meet some of the people that I've been wanting to meet for years. I think that was the first time I actually met Kevin Lucas, even though, of course, we crossed paths several times. I think this was the first time we actually got a chance to hang out some.
I think that was the first time I met him, too.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It was where we met Eric.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I think only Matt remembers, actually, but it's okay.
I didn't remember meeting JD at BotCon 2001.
I mean, that was actually the first time I'd ever, like, communicated with any of you anyways, because I didn't have a Twitter before then either, so.
Yeah, we just knew you as Rob Springer's stalker up to
that
point.
I didn't even know that. I say Matt knew that. Matt was like the only one that like knew who I was because he was like, "Oh yeah, you're the guy who sends in all the questions for being awesome with Rob Springer." So, yeah,
done.
Hey, yeah. Sorry, Ben Yee just tweeted out. If we want to use this as a notation for our Amazon Studio Series is back in stock on Amazon.
Yeah, we knew that.
We've been in stock. I've been saying that in the chat.
We've been talking about
I know,
that.
But I'm. Wait, no, really? I'm saying I thought they went out of stock. I'm no. sorry.
No, went out of stock at Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. So Don,
since you interrupted to talk about BotCon, tell us about the last BotCon. It's really your stage. It's
the saddest day of your life.
It's the saddest day of your life.
Okay, one, I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought they meant that Amazon sold out.
No, Don, it's okay. Tell
us
about BotCon.
Don was the saddest day in his life. For everyone else, it was Sunday.
Yes.
We got Stan Bush one more time in concert, which is always nice to have Mr. Bush in concert. It was a great little show. A lot to do in the surrounding area, within walking distance. A lot to do. Little chilly, but on the concert night, but not bad.
Hey, Don, I want to ask you a question. I'm not asking this to hurt your feelings. I want people to understand how this feels. Tell us about that panel where it was basically everybody talking about the BotCons they went to. And Pete was asking people to stand up. Tell us about that. How'd you feel?
Kind of crappy, but it's my own fault because they were going through and they were asking how many people had been to every BotCon, and I've been to most of them.
All but one.
I did miss 1997 because I was gainfully unemployed. And I had just left Service Merchandise, and the job I had lined up fell through, so I was kind of SOL. Basically, we got to the point where 16 years, I'm still standing there. 17 years, I'm still standing. 18 years, I'm still standing. 19 years, I'm sitting down, because I missed it by that 1 year. But
how many people actually were
standing?
Go ahead.
But John and Carl were nice enough in 97. They knew I could not make it because I would like to think by that point I had become real good friends with them. Mm-hmm. And they knew I was a fan of what they were doing. They did save me a pack rack fractal 2-pack with the comic, and I was still able to send in my money, and I was able to get one. So I still have that pack rack fractal 2-pack, which I think is one of the best ones they've done.
So
I think there was 7 or 11 people left standing that had been
that
there for
many?
Every show.
I thought it was only like 4 or 5.
No, there was a lineup.
Okay.
There was a lineup.
It felt like more than that. So, Don, I want to ask you a question because there's always been this. We have people are people want to group up and then create factions. Like, I'm pro third party. I'm anti third party. I'm pro this. I'm pro that. You know, I'm against this. I'm against that. Tell me, how does BotCon rank when it comes to conventions in your life? Has there been a convention that you've been to that even comes close to what BotCon meant to you?
No, because, and I'm not saying that to slight any other conventions I've been to. It's just with my limited vacation time that I got each year, I had to make a choice between what I wanted to go to. And 94 and 95 BotCon was so overwhelmingly a cornerstone of being a collector, because up until that point, I didn't know about the Japanese continuities. I didn't know anything about the English continuities. I didn't know there was a UK comic book other than Man of Iron that had been imported from the UK books for the early Marvel run, but I didn't know much more than that. And when I walked into the dealer's room in 94 and I see all this stuff, I see Victory Leo. I see Star Saber.
How much would a Victory Leo have been at that point?
The one I bought was $75 for Victory Leo. Let me think here. In 94, 95 was when I did my most purchases for the Japanese stuff, because at that point, a lot of it was still on the shelf.
Yeah.
See, Victory Shuttle was $50. Browning was $45.
Damn.
Victory Leo was 85. Metal Hulk was 50. And I remember Tony Preto got Road Caesar for me pretty much at cost plus shipping for $125.
So for context,
at 95.
For context, yeah. 4 years later on eBay, you would spend like $300 on a Starscream.
Also, I like the context Sean DeLuna gave us in the Skype chat. A lot of those prices Don was quoting were less than the cost of a new Super Nintendo game at that time.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Street Fighter II Turbo was like $80. Phantasy Star 4 for the Genesis was $100. Virtua Racing was $100 for the Genesis.
I mean, the average price for a Super Nintendo game then was about $60, I think.
Like a 32 megabit game or 24 megabit game would run you about $75 or $80. Yeah.
So I mean, so you know, when they had that the G2 presentation the last year, when they shut off the laser cycles, the General Optimus and the Sergeant Hound from the Alder Rollers, the GoBot Racing Rig, which is the one GoBots toy I really wish we had gotten and we never did. You know, that those 2 years, 96, it didn't happen. But 94 and 95, John and Carl in 94 and Raksha in 95, solid years, very fundamental to my time as a collector. I don't know where I would be in my collecting. I don't know where I would be as in my life right now if it wasn't for 94 and 95.
I'm jealous of those memories, Don. I sincerely am. Like, I can't tell you.
I have Polaroids from those years.
Yeah.
And I never got to a single one.
Yeah, sadness. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into the news. And I'm going to bounce around.
Oh, you forgot the other important
I took it out.
I know that's not that important. Forgot it.
Okay, Don, so tell us what happened this week in the year 2000. Like in the future. In the year 2000,
Good Car job. Robot's first episode premiered in Japan. So the first appearance of the best Optimus Prime, Fire Convoy.
Okay.
I remember watching a Raw of that in like postage stamp size from TF Extreme.
TFExtreme.com. Yeah.
On Real Player.
Real Media.
Wait, yep. So did you guys exactly. know that you would be getting this in America at this point?
Oh, no.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Okay, so for Eric's context here, I want to tell this real quick. So Toy Fair 2001 happened, February 2001, like normal. And we didn't really know exactly what to expect. I think we had seen some like leaked prototypes of Transtech stuff before that. So I think we were kind of expecting, okay, some more development on this. Well, no, it wasn't exactly that. So I believe the very first morning, there was not actually any new like upcoming Transformers stuff out on display. It wasn't until later that afternoon or possibly the next day when people went back to do follow-up coverage, there was some new Transformers toys put out, and it was the Car Robot's new mold. Now, as the anecdotes go, the Hasbro reps or the presentation team at Toy Fair that year
went
to Image Anime and bought off the shelf Car Robots toys to put out as the display of the upcoming toys at that Toy Fair. That's how last minute the changeover to doing Car Robots as Robots in Disguise apparently was. They did not even have time to get product from Takara or run their own test shots or anything like that to have at Toy Fair that year.
Yeah, it never happened before. We'd always, I mean, when I say always, quotes, I mean, there only been three series. We had G1, we had Beast Wars, and we had Beast Machines. There had never been a Japanese series that ran in America, so it was incredibly odd. But, Transtech fell through, and it was going to be a while before they were able to get Armada out. And Armada was basically a shared design between U.S. and Japan, which was also different. Yes. But it was mind blowing.
Yeah.
Do we know why Transtech got cut off?
Oh, no. Really?
Don does. Don does. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'm not going to go into the full detail here. Eric, if you would want to the answer to that question,
tell us, just
about
Don, just tell us, because we're asking the question now. Just get okay, high right, level. Well, then you can plug your other podcast.
I'm just going to say we talked to Aaron Archer on TFYLP about Transtech, so there's more detail in that episode. But the short version is that the direction they wanted to go, Transtech was not it. And they thought that the line needed a they looked at other Japanese lines that were successful. Transtech did not have a lot of the same components of a successful toy line at that time. So that's when Mr. Archer worked with Takara on the decision to bring the toys in the show over.
Was he just a designer at that point, or was he already an executive in Transformers?
He must have been high up enough, because I had to personally thank him for being the one to bring over all the toys that I just paid to have imported the year before.
join the club.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, I'm sure he was like, you're the exception, and I'm sorry.
I am so thankful they didn't bring over Beast Wars Neo for many reasons, but
But I'm just saying that's the short version, is that they looked at it. There was some prototypes made, some gray resin prototypes, but it's just where they wanted.
Pictures of the one or two that are known to exist are on the wiki, even.
Right. So it's the almost kind of sort of line that practically never was.
Yeah. But Don, how do people find that episode of the podcast?
Just go to TFYLP's Facebook page. And then they have a listing of all the episodes as they appear. This is the one that was about 3 weeks ago. I don't remember the number by chance.
So somewhere mid-March of 2018 for people who are listening to this farther in the future.
Yeah.
I want to try to go back and find that.
Yeah, cool.
Because Mr. Archer goes into a lot of detail about that, more than I can go into here. But it's a very interesting look at the line that practically was, but never was.
Yeah.
You know, bringing this back around to BotCon 2016, which we were talking about like half an hour ago now, I did have the chance to ask him at his panel there, because there was those Transtech prototypes. I did get the chance to ask him whether there was other material like that that got as far as that prototype stage and never progressed farther. And he said there was actually like a handful of Beast Machine stuff, including a playset size of the Megabolt head thing.
Wow.
That exists as like a like wood and resin prototype. And
Eric is grinning. He's probably seen it.
Supposedly somewhere in Takara's archives still.
Eric's grinning. He probably saw that.
Yeah.
And, no, and I'm the just big imagining thing is Takara.
No, he's under NDA for some stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, the official NDA response is no comment, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. But just to let y'all know, Takara, whereas Hasbro has been known not to save a lot of stuff, Takara saves everything.
Yeah.
So somewhere in those archives is stuff that would blow our minds.
Eric, how are you going to do podcast stuff when you work for Hasbro?
Well, he won. It's going to be like Joe Kide. He's going to disappear from the fandom when he gets deep into it.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Okay. Sadness. Okay. Well, we will enjoy you while we have you. Let's go ahead and jump.
Sure, we will.
Well, Jason probably won't.
Yeah, true.
That's Jason in general, though.
So, revealed Power of the Primes, Nemesis Prime coming soon.
Eric has to get another Nemesis Prime.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't always get official Nemesis Prime, but I do want this one. So.
So this is from a Russian website. Is it VK.com? So
supposedly this is an official Russian Transformers brand presence. So.
Oh, it's so this isn't a leak. This is like apparently an official thing.
Yeah.
The same mechanism by which that Rekgar from Gru.
Oh my God! The International Women's Day Rekgar reveal.
Right.
Yeah.
This I'm still trying to figure that one out. I don't know, but that was so great.
So I like this Optimus Prime. So
yeah, I'm interested to see what they do to, if anything, to the Orion packs inside of it.
I know that's what I'm thinking. I would guess that it has an alternate head since this does too, which I find it very interesting that this is the same alternate head that Hasbro made for Combiner Wars Optimus Prime, which got used as Toxitron by the Collectors Club when it was really intended to be a Nemesis Prime.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Takara did Grand Scourge, so they had to change their plans. That's why we ended up getting a Toxitron through them, which I have. I love it. But this isn't, like, because some people were thinking that maybe this was an April Fool's joke. This isn't photoshopped of that, because it's the same exact design aesthetic aesthetic, except the cheek vents are different. So it's not.
Well, it also had accessories that had not come with anything else either. Yeah. So that helped to rule out the Photoshop.
Very Transformers Armada based accessories, which
exactly
is
exactly what I was going to say. I love it. I love it.
It looks so cool.
Yeah, so like one of them is the Star Saber, basically, or I guess Dark Saber in this case, and the other one looks like it's a bird.
Yes, it
a
does.
A vast predatory bird?
Well, I don't know how vast it is.
And the forearm blasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are very... Those are... I can't get my
very Transformers Armada
out easily right now, but...
Well, now, Bendy Nemesis Armada had those forearm blasters like the Prime did. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's that just that character.
Mm. What I was thinking would be really cool is if this was an SDCC exclusive in a two-pack with Shattered Glass Prime, and it would be like the Primes of Evil. That'd be so cool.
I'd get that.
I don't think it's likely, but I was just thinking to myself, I was like, that would be really cool.
I don't think they would let an STCC exclusive slip this early in this way. I mean, it's hard to say for sure because of the channel by which this came through, mm-hmm. but it still seems like this isn't something, that's something they would try to keep more guarded.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like an entire year's worth of a toy line?
well, to be fair, though, that entire year's worth of a toy line didn't get posted on the official Russian Transformers social media platform.
True.
I would guess this would be something more like an Amazon exclusive.
Has Amazon gotten an exclusive at that price point yet? I'm just trying to think, like, Amazon...
Well, they had the 2010 Unicron that one time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's man, funny. They did.
Oh, they had the leader class Optimus from the movie, which was, you know, it was like movie one, but they reissued it for, I think, last night or whatever. But I don't know why they did that.
They had that Bumblebee set with the garage packaging that ran about $60.
True.
Sorry, I'm actually looking at eBay right now. I'm considering buying an Armada Nemesis Prime figure.
It wouldn't be Ooh. RFC if you weren't buying something.
I know.
How much are those running now?
This one's $55. It's the cheapest one. I had that toy.
Oh, I'm glad I have one.
I had it and I sold it.
What's the deal with their party?
Hey, Brian, I was going to sell my Nemesis Prime that I've got carded, and last time I looked, they weren't going that expensive. That's kind of shocked me.
I bet Dom will give you a good deal on the one he has.
Let me check what they've actually sold for.
Probably not.
Oh, Don, you're such a friend.
You're awesome. Somebody made an offer and it sold for less than 50 carded. So never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move along. Next thing that we got to talk about. Okay, we're going to, nobody cares about car robots. We're going to skip that. Okay, Don. What do you think about the photos of the Godfire Convoy a reissue? I mean, it looks nice.
He looks great. I just wish the price was a little more first-time buyer friendly.
Did the original have plastic wheels? I thought the original had rubber wheels. This looks like plastic.
It had rubber wheels.
But this looks like plastic.
I think they switched them to plastic for this.
Well, that would be cheaper.
And I do like how the red is a little more animation accurate. There's some extra paint highlights, but at that price point, you know, they can afford to do some stuff on what they didn't do. But I mean, it's just not, if you don't have that mold, you can get the originals with possibly split tires on. Yeah. For less. But I will admit the new paint works. It really pops. The white pops against the blue. The gold really stands out. You know, the highlight colors. I mean, it looks really close to being more show accurate than the regular one. But the price is just extremely prohibitive. I mean,
so just wait till Christmas when everyone's trying to clearance it out.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. Those definitely look like plastic wheels with the light shining on them.
Yeah, I absolutely think they are.
My co-host said that they're rubber wheels. He got it, and his had terrible QC, like terrible, terrible, that he's trying to get rid of it now.
Yeah, like, so I heard a couple incidents. One where it came like out of the box with stress marks all over the place. Yeah,
that's what he. That's what happened with his.
We might be talking about the same instance then. I haven't seen like pictures or anything to back it up. I heard another one, part of it just broke, much like Kilby's Windblade.
Yeah.
So like the price is kind of indicative of these toys were especially over engineered just because the economies of stuff allowed that at the time. And I think they also relied on a certain kind of plastic and, you know, assembly tolerances that probably with the switch of factory locations a couple times since these were designed, we're not quite getting anymore.
Yeah, it basically the materials required for this figure to work are not being put into the figure. You know, what's sad is I got the Clear Godfire Convoy set for a hair bit less than what this is retailing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's just...
I've compiled a list of toys, like, because I have so much room and my collection's so small, I've compiled a list of toys that I need to rebuy that I've parted with, and that Nemesis Prime is on there. But also, Ultra Magnus and Fire Convoy from Robots in Disguise is on there, because I got rid of mine years ago. I may actually go and buy the set that I saw at Acme Comics in Greensboro if they haven't, if Jermaine hasn't sold those.
When you do, make sure the tires aren't splitting, because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine did that.
Yeah. There's a lot of Beast Wars Transmetal stuff that I need to rebuy because it's turned to dust.
Yeah, except some things like Transmetal 2 Scourge, you'll see carded ones and the chrome's already coming off of it in the package.
Oh, yeah, my Scourge is the worst one that I have. It's the most
destroyed. I think Scourge is like the worst one anyone has.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
That and the Ultra Beast Machines Jetfire.
Oh, yeah, I never got that. That's why I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I would love to get one of the Cyclonuses from BotCon to open.
I would never trust it.
I couldn't. I think Paladin had one for sale a while back, and it's like, I've got one boxed, but I never want to open it because the only thing holding the chrome on place is the plastic around it. So yeah, you know, I don't because I'd open it and be like, "Foof, okay, it's a glitter party, and everyone's invited, and my figure is."
I'm not going to a glitter party. So Don, what do you think about this?
Glitterparty.org. Don't go to that because I don't know if that's safe or not.
Probably not.
What do you, Don?
Yeah, I guess not.
So we have photos of Great Shot in hand. What do you think? Do you love it?
I like it. It's very pretty. It's an affordable version of Great Shot if you like the character from Victory. I do believe that you can get the Terminus Hexatron version for about the same price now. And it's probably got a bit more heft to it.
Yeah, I hate that mold, though. So
Yeah. I am all excited about this Legends version. Yeah,
but it looks great. It's just for about the same money, you do have another option. So that just depends on your aesthetic.
I would rather have this option than that option.
Yeah, I would rather have the real thing. Thanks.
Well, it's not even a matter of being a real thing. I just don't like Hexatron. I think it's garbage.
Yeah.
It's not garbage, but it's definitely not.
It's
held
not
up.
Like the fans' toy, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, and Great Shot's one of them characters that, you know, you need a current incarnation because you just can't run out to your local toy convention and say, "Hey, I'll take that Great Shot right there." Sure, yeah. Here's $600, $700, plus you've got the potential for yellowing in the box.
Has any? Yeah. So,
although. When you go to your toy convention this fall, TFCon, you actually can go to the dealer room and say, "I'll take that Great Shot," because everybody will have some of these Legends Great Shots.
Yeah,
this is true. Yeah. I'll probably buy one there.
Has anybody been charged for this or Grand Max yet?
John was.
Yes.
No.
So I haven't been charged yet, but I'm just a matter of time.
Where'd you order yours from, Brian?
I'm pretty sure Big Bad.
Okay, yeah, that's where I ordered mine from as well, and I haven't received any notices yet.
The toys were only released like March 30th or something like that. Whatever day Saturday was been their ship date in Japan, so it's going to take a little time from that for BBTS to actually get them in stock.
Speaking of Hexatron, that's in my pile of crap I'm trying to sell to pay for those. So,
yeah, you know, it's. I wish I liked the Fortress Maximus mold more than I do.
Yeah,
I get because it.
Agreed.
You know, I really that really disappointed me, and you know the Grand Maximus looks really great. It's just that mold is so disappointing.
I would agree. If they repainted Trypticon, I would buy it because that was a good toy and I loved it. But Fort Max, I'm happy to have a Fort Max, but it was not that good of a toy. So I do not want to buy a repaint of it, no matter how pretty, like this.
Yeah, I just don't care enough about Grand Max in this context. Like, I've said this before and we've talked about this. I want to get the Toy World Grant, if anything, the little, you know, leader-ish size third-party one.
Oh,
that's
I do
more
wanna
like G1 Fort Max.
I want a Brave Max.
Brave Max is, like, super pretty. Yeah. Kilby actually has mine.
Yeah, because I bought it brand new when it came out from Takara. I paid like $120 for it shipped, and I felt that was so much money at the time. yeah. But I ended up selling
it's
it.
Weird.
I paid like $120 for the one I sold you.
Yeah, yeah. Times are different. That's the Korean one I had, which are identical.
Yes,
they're identical.
Yes.
So the one I had was a Japanese.
They're identical except that one sticker is inverted between them.
Yeah. So, but like I sold mine back in like 2005 for like why 2005? I'm sorry, I had to say that. That's from a. Like three people will get that, but that's I sold it for like $300, and that's about what I paid for yours, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, okay. So Brave Max is nice. I don't want to buy that toy again though in Brave Max colors.
I would buy the Toy World mold in Brave Max colors.
Really want a Brave Max toy. I don't have one, so that would be.
It's a shame that the Tuesday morning bootleg never came in different colors.
Yeah, or it's a shame the Encore Fortress Maximus didn't meet their projected sales, so we could have gotten a Brave Max Encore at some point.
I mean, honestly, it's amazing they even, like, undertook the attempt to do an Encore Fortress Maximus.
Yeah.
That seemed destined for financial failure, even if, you know, a number of people actually did buy it.
It's, Yeah, I'm surprised I never actually got that after it went on, after it was reissued. Because I don't actually have a G1 Fort Max. I never got one, so I need to fix that.
Yeah, Brave Max is better anyway.
Yeah. So, do we have a translation yet on either the Grand Max or the Great Shot comic? Otherwise, I'm just going to skip this.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah,
saw on Twitter that the translation of the Great Shots comic is that Great Shot is just Six Shot in a new body.
Really?
That sounds about right for the Legends comics.
Yeah, that's apparently what I saw on Twitter, is that someone was like, oh, I was so happy, you know, I was going to get Great Shot, because, hey, it's a new character that we never get. And then the comic basically says that, no, actually, it's just Six Shot, new body.
But is it Uncle Six Shot?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, let's just wait for the proper translation.
Does anybody care? I guess everybody does, about this Flame Toys Tarn. We have new photos. Oh,
I don't.
God, yeah. Oh my god, it's so beautiful.
It is.
It's also $370.
Yeah, why in tarnation is it so expensive?
Don.
I hate you. Ugh.
If it transformed, I'd be all over this, but...
Yeah, it's... So what's up with the face when he takes the mask off?
He's beating out his crown to the punch.
I don't know what is up with the face when he takes the mask off.
I mean, so
because then you know what character he was.
Yeah, who I don't know who was he.
Glitch. It's Glitch. Old Man Wilson.
He was Glitch. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I stopped reading the comic, unfortunately, and now that it's ending, I don't really feel that I have a huge incentive to finish.
Well, no, not really. Although that Unicron one.
I thought it was Roller.
I want to watch Unicron kill everyone and finish off the universe.
So, but real quick, because I wasn't here last week to talk about it, you know, I think it's A-okay that they're ending the continuity. You know why? Because we've never had a consistent continuity or canon. So it's not like Transformers has one consistent thing that lasts forever. So it's not like DC Comics, which...
And that's one of the things I hate the most, which is why the comics continuity ending bothers me so much.
But why did you expect it would last?
I was gonna go to Star Wars if you want a tight canon that everything goes together in. Like, this is the opposite of that.
So, you know,
no, actually, I think you should stick with Star Trek for that.
But I guess what I'm saying though is that I trust IDW to do good work, and if they start something new, I mean, based on history, it's going to be pretty good. So,
unless Hasbro goes and says you're making Cyberverse comics now, no more original ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, what if they're just doing stuff to support the current toy line and the current like show?
Unified basically. Brand identity only.
Well, as long as the editorial staff doesn't start already happened too.
That's happened too. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, but we have that time figure. So, let's see here. We talked.
People are getting the. I've been seeing more people get the Drift figure too, which also is very expensive, but looks really nice.
Yeah. We already talked about the toy showing up. Done. Found. Blackout. Last week we talked about the DX9 toys Dutch. There's a Nemesis version of that toy.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy that.
It's a nice looking figure.
I know, it looks really nice. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll buy it. I'm curious.
So we did spend some time last week speculating how it might transform. Almost as if in response to that, it totally isn't, but it seems like it would be. There was a transformation demo video that got posted, which is linked to from the T-Formers story, which you can find in the RFC show notes at tfradio.net/565. Is that the current number?
You're the man. That's it.
I'll be getting this version of the mold.
Yeah, I think I'll probably buy it.
Yeah, I'm watching the transformation video right now, and I'm liking what I see.
Yeah, it's not as complex as we were guessing it was, but it's doing interesting things while not being like fiddly.
Go ahead.
It's accomplishing 100% more than the Robot Masters Optimus Prime ever did.
I'm not going to run the video because I'm already slowing down a little bit here. But now, was I right in the fact that the hands are turned around backwards against the body?
No.
And that's where the hands come from? I was not right?
Nope.
Okay.
Sadness.
I'll have to watch that later.
Hey, Diecast, tell us about Dracula.
Yeah, it's... it's what's his name?
And it'll be out in 17 years.
Yeah.
My mind was white.
Well, no, this is fans' toys.
It's fans' toys, so it's going to be good.
And, yeah, Diecast seems a little distracted right now.
Although, yeah, I mean, their Weird Wolf wasn't very good, but hey, I'll give this a shot.
You know, I've heard of all the fans' toy stuff, that Weird Wolf, the Lupus figure, is the one I've heard of the most decisiveness over, because some people really, really like the figure, some people really hate it.
Is that the only headmaster they've done?
No, people are decisively either for it or against it, Matt. Don's completely correct.
Okay, gotcha.
was that the first headmaster they did?
Yes.
It seems to me that.
So what's wrong with the headmasters?
Yeah, I love you. It seems like that this is more in Mastermind. Is it Masterminds that does the remasters? Make Toys. It seems like this is more in Make Toys camp because they've done so much already with Target Masters and Headmasters. I don't really think a fans toy. I don't even know what to think a fans toys headmaster would be like. Like, the headmaster would be, like, probably would weigh a ton in and of itself. Because it's probably made out of,
metal.
Krypton.
It's all die-cast.
Yeah.
Vibranium.
It's like kryptonite, so...
I like the weight of the figures. I like that they premium feel, premium...
Does weighing paint. 50 pounds really make something premium?
Yeah, I mean, you could just, like, find some of the hollow space inside the twin fill it with pennies and get the same effect.
I kind of just want to gain weight now and just be like, I'm premium.
I am
because
premium.
I weigh more. You know, I'm a premium.
Chris,
product.
That just doesn't make any sense.
Oh God, Don. You know, it looks nice. It really does. And I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because I think that the Make Toys Megatron Dystopia is kind of crap. But generally speaking, I really like the Make Toys figures in the scale more than the fans' toys.
Dystopia was Titan.
Yeah, the Metro. What's the What's the name of the freaking Megatron? That doesn't matter. The one that
Despotron.
God, there's so many. It's hard to keep track of all this stuff. But I generally like to look at the Make-Toys stuff better than Fans Toys diecast. I know that makes me terrible, but
yeah pretty much.
Well, speaking of Fans Toys,
there's another
no bias there at all.
Yeah, so diecast, tell us about Chomp.
Oh, Chomp is my favorite. He's Skull Cruncher. He's going to crunch some skulls.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to get it, and you're going to be just as disappointed as you were with their Weird Wolf, and then, you know, you'll be the saddest diecast ever.
I don't think so. I think I'm going to like this one.
Laugh and laugh.
It'll be a good I mean, time. It's kind of hard to do Skull Cruncher wrong.
Well, don't say that, and then they're going to find a way.
Life will find a way.
Fans Project did it.
He's great. Good.
I've got two versions of that mold.
I never diecast posits him.
Why is one of these Fans Toys 23 and the other one Fans Toys 26?
Well, I assume because there's a 24 and 25 being released between them.
It's not in the series that they're released. I think it's when they decide they're definitely going to do the figure that it gets a number.
You would think what are 24 and 25? Yeah, you would think they would definitely decide to do all three Decepticon initial headmasters at the same time.
It may be when they have when it goes to prototype, or I mean,
so basically what we're determining here is that diecast does not actually know how their numbering system works.
Well, what I'm saying is it's not release based.
Do they even know how their numbering system
probably
works?
Probably not.
Though? That's sure the real question.
Pretty sure they do. But from what, sure when it's
do we know, to be do we a product, know what 24 and 25 are supposed to be?
Oh,
any idea?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
They might have been announced. They might not have been announced.
It wasn't one of them. Wasn't 24 the hot rod?
I thought 25 was the hot rod.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we might be onto something here because we were both thinking in the same range for the same figure. So
to the third party wiki.
Yes.
Oh no. Also, there's something in what's on T-Formers that I think is probably worth being in the news if we're talking about third-party stuff anyway.
The Rolling Thunder?
The Rolling Thunder, yeah.
Well, since Rob's not here, let's just move all that stuff into the show, and then we'll just skip.
Well, okay.
So I'm going to talk about Studio Series Jazz real quick, because Jazz doesn't get a fair shake unless he's being torn in half first, and it's...
Yeah, he certainly got a shake after that.
Yes.
Too soon. Too soon.
I don't know. This looks really plain to me. This
Silver
is
jazz, well, it's jazz.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the character design is just completely silver, but it looks really good to me. Like it looks like a good toy.
Yeah,
it's very traditionally jazz, by which I mean it wears like 50% of the car panels as a backpack.
Yeah,
like most jazzes do,
and has the front of the car as the chest.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll buy this.
Yeah, I gotta give credit though. Like when they were picking out the car models to use for the characters, like a Pontiac Solstice is a pretty good stand-in for a Porsche.
I would agree, yeah. Same general shape. And
it has absolutely nothing to do with this toy that we're talking about right now, but just in general concept, they made a good call on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me about, Chris, since you wrote this article and I don't know anything about this toy, tell me about the TSE Toys STC01. Unofficial
so
Rolling Thunder Optimus.
It's a Masterpiece scale unofficial Optimus Prime, because of course it is.
Yeah.
But it's another try at the G.I. Joe Rolling Thunder vehicle alt mode, which I understand is based on some Don Figueroa artwork. But what is interesting about this, besides the fact that as far as we know, it's not coming as an obligatory two-pack with a recolor nobody cares about, they're leaning really heavily into its functions as a playset for things like Dinonauts and Titan Masters, and I think that's a really great move for this. It's like doubling its value as it's making it a toy more than just a figure of Optimus Prime with the serial number filed off. Also, there's one picture in that gallery of it with like two giant missiles over its shoulders and a bunch of guns attached, and I really love that too. It's very like traditional super robot, and I kind of dig them going for that. Also,
didn't Rolling Thunder have like a twin missile launching gantry or something on it?
It very well could have. I'm not really that G.I. Joe conversant, Don.
Okay.
But I really like what they're showing right now, the way they're marketing this with what they've opted to focus on in their prototype pictures. Like, I'm not gonna buy this, but I'm really interested in like the concept behind it. I think they're going in a really solid direction with it. And if it ever goes on sale for like $35, I'll totally probably get one.
Yeah, my interest in it is much more as the playset value than just the figure itself.
Yep.
And especially if, like Matt, you've invested hundreds of dollars into Diaclone Reboot and have like five or six toys from that line. You know, this is a good way to expand.
I stopped at the one. The one.
Did you not get any of the little exosuits or Dianauts?
No. No, I had planned on it, but they were asking too much money for it. I couldn't.
You know, the knockoff range of that stuff is expanding pretty quickly now and is of good quality. So, you know, you might
look. I have a purple one.
Investigating, yeah,
yeah. I really have a purple one with the Shockwave.
Well, if the War for Cybertron series goes the way I'm thinking it was, I'll have more money to spend on other things. So maybe I'll get back into the Diaclone.
It'll be a boon for third party.
A boon for third party. Okay, so
no boon for the Diaclone line.
Anyway, props to TFC for how they're approaching this figure. I appreciate what they're doing.
The idea is good. Hopefully, the toy is good.
The execution is good.
It can't be that bad as a playset at the very least, because all it has to do is lay down and have
you
to stand.
You say that now.
I guess it could spontaneously burst into flames. Yes.
Typically, figures don't do that unless Diecast gets a hold of them.
Well, that wasn't really spontaneous. He had to really work at that.
Yeah.
That is true.
That was just clever editing on my part to make that look like it was fast.
Yeah, Kronos had a lot of self-preservation going on there.
I love that video.
The horrible stuff never wants to die.
You know, like the Best Nature documentaries, we totally built the story of that by hand after the fact.
Yeah,
I just love that Brian was so mad he had to spend time editing out Diecast neighbor talking the entire time.
Why is your neighbor in this video?
It was so funny how angry you were at that. You were yelling at Diecast over and over.
I kind of regret I didn't take the edit for that, because I probably would have gone in some interesting directions with blocking out the neighbor.
So because Don's a genius and he interrupted our conversation about BotCon about this, guess what? If you go to tfradio.net/studio...
You know what was really great about BotCon 2015?
BotCon coming back?
TFRadio.net/studio. You can buy the Transformers Studio Series. They are there right now. Many of them, at least at my location, with free one-day shipping, as long as your order is $35 or more. So TFRadio.net/studio. They have Starscream, Crowbar, Bumblebee. Of course they have Bumblebee. Ratchet, Stinger.
They had Blackout still. I just checked.
Okay.
At least as of literally five minutes ago, they had Blackout.
TFRadio.net/studio. Buy that stuff. It's pretty awesome. I did.
Just make sure that you're looking at the right listings when you're searching for that, because there are some duplicates up there at higher prices, but right now the direct from Amazon sales at retail price should still be there also. So make sure you're picking the right ones.
Yep.
And you can get Thundercracker for $100.
Or if you want to buy that Grimlock for $500, please do. That'll help us out. TFRadio.net.
Well, they do have the Grimlock at the regular price, but you know.
Yeah, right here I'm looking at it. $49.99 for free and free one-day shipping. So I'll have my Blackout tomorrow. Shame I don't have it. I don't have it today.
I don't get one day.
Yeah, I don't get one day either.
You Diecast, you get one day.
No.
You don't have same day?
They do 2 day.
Heck yeah. Two-day. I'm 20,
which is strange because I have an Amazon distribution like 5 minutes from me.
No.
Yeah, I don't, that doesn't make sense. I mean in general,
in a pretty largely populated area though, Diecast.
Oh, yeah, in the chat, Phaserbeak's even saying that he's got Phaserbeak's got an Amazon warehouse a few miles away and sometimes gets things from Amazon Japan faster
than amazing.
Amazon US still.
I don't think the entire country has next day yet, which is probably a big reason why.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they'd have to have an Amazon location somewhere reasonably close.
Mine's 20 minutes away. And
I know, I think we saw it.
Yeah.
Give it another couple of years and everyone will.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean
.net/studio.
it's so bad. Like, if I order something on a Wednesday, sometimes I don't get it till like
a Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
I remember once I ordered you some podcasting hardware, and I thought you got it same day.
You know, for Diecast, the day he orders his stuff from Amazon is the most important day of his life. But as it turns out, it's actually Tuesday.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay, so Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? RPG Lessons Learned. Yeah, it's a lot to go over. RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 48, Courtroom Drama by Pathfinder. This week on RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty and Mike revisit the Pathfinder Beginner Box campaign. After the players demand to see the murderers they caught brought to justice, Dusty runs a courtroom drama complete with vital testimony from one of the players.
Oh, man, it was amazing.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Brian wasn't even on the episode.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, I know. I was feeding the dogs while they were recording, then I came in and sat and listened into the rest of it. So, yeah. I love having people in studio.
Yeah, was it more like Phoenix Wright or Harvey Birdman?
I'll be honest with you. The reason I wasn't on the show, even though I was in that game, this was when I was working ridiculous hours trying to get the new website up. So I had my laptop going, and I was working on the website and trying to play the game at the same time, and I don't remember a thing about it. So,
good call.
Yeah. But I do remember when I got the website up and running. And I remember when I turned the website on.
Like a year ago now?
It's not quite a year. I remember when I turned the website on and it immediately crashed because we got too much traffic and I wasn't paying for like a robust enough server.
I remember that.
And at 1 o'clock in the morning, I called the host and he asked, I mean, we don't get a ton of traffic. Almost all of our traffic for the podcast, it comes from like aggregators and social media and stuff, but we don't get like a ton of web traffic. But the guy that I was speaking to was shocked because he said most of their customers get like 30 hits a week. I'm like, why are you even paying for a site if you get 30 hits a week? So, but tfradio.net/studio. Hey,
they're paying for a website getting 30 hits a week because there's not really a lot of good free options out there anymore.
Yeah, are there free options?
I don't really even know. I'm just protecting myself from the option or possibility that there are that I don't know of. But like free web hosting is basically dead.
Yeah, sadness. I found my GeoCities URL, but unfortunately I can't recover it.
Aw.
Yeah. I cannot recover it. tfradio.net/565 to view the show notes. Leave us a voicemail 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And I am on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. We are on Twitter at TF Radio and on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio and on Instagram at TF Podcast. Rob Springer, who is not here, is at Rob Springer on Twitter and zonebase.org. What you need to do is go to Twitter and type at Rob Springer. Record a new episode of Being Awesome, and then have people retweet it. So, that's awesome.
Eric's probably doing that right now.
He probably is.
And end it with
And also sending some questions.
Start sending him questions.
Yeah. I think he did a question post, and in it, he specifically said, anyone could submit questions, and in parentheses, except for you.
Except for Eric.
Yep.
Pretty awesome.
He didn't say my name, but...
We know.
Yeah. He said, you know who you are.
Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on YouTube at RFC Reviews. Definitely make sure to check out those. On Twitter at Diecast2, and also on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Awesome. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR. And please remember, if you're an artist, draw your favorite Furmanism and send it to me, and we may show it on the show.
I love that, Don. That's great. Matt is on Twitter at Melvar, 3 L's, 2 R's, MELLLVARR. Yep.
See, it's so much easier when you do it yourself.
Yeah.
No, it literally is easier when Kilby does it for you.
Yes. Chris is on Twitter.
Because then there is no effort in it at all. And no,
well, I meant
Brian.
Because...
So it's 100%. It's at least 100% better to make him do it.
Chris Archie.
Matt, we probably going to say though. He's at Chris's Chris is XV or something.
Chris RTXV. Chris RTXV.
Good job, Diecast.
There you go.
Flickr.com. Flickr.com/... you can find
Rob on Twitter at Flailthroughs.
And RAC2750.
And of course, check out. He doesn't usually advertise that one on the show because that's his.
That's personal, but.
Yeah, that's his less user friendly account.
That's the one I follow.
That's the one. You could also follow at Figure Reviewers, which he uses sometimes for specifically toy based stuff. And also, of course, you can go to tformers.com for all the Transformers related content that me and Rob both generate throughout the week.
Excellent.
A lot of which ends up in the show.
Yes. Hey, Eric Crowbar, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, you can find me at Eric Crowbar on Twitter or at Aramis Prime on Instagram, if that's your thing.
How do you spell it?
Erimus Prime.
Okay.
I wonder if the YouTube chat would let you put that in, Brian.
He's older than you were then, so maybe there was like some sort of child protection thing going on.
Oh, and also Nerdy Geek Talk is my podcast network. So anywhere you listen to this, you should be able to find that. So go give it a
what
shot.
What if they listen to tfradio.net?
Wait, what?
What if they listen to tfradio.net? You're not there.
Well, good point. Nerdy Geek Talk anywhere you listen to podcasts at tfradio.net. There you go. There's your exception.
Jason.
Well, you won't find me on Nerdy Geek Talk because Eric refuses to have
same here. Same here.
I didn't ask because I know I'm too old.
I have had Diecast.
I don't understand the kids these days.
Diecast has the mind of a child.
I have the mind of a child.
Okay, Diecast has the emotional maturity of a child. I don't know how he functions day to day, honestly.
He buys a lot of toys to cope with his problems.
Again, the emotional maturity of a child.
Well, I think we're all there.
Resources of an adult.
Yes. Okay, Jason.
You can find me on Twitter at Jason S. Kirk. Guys, I do a lot of podcasts, so just go there and you'll find them. I think I was on one every day last week. So
how's Everlasting Minute going?
It's wonderful. Episode 20, I think today was cool. What came out.
What? You're already on 20? Wait, how often do you release them?
It comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay.
How is
that? I didn't realize it's that often.
How is There Goes My Money going?
Diecast, how's There Goes My Money going?
Excellent.
I bet it would go a lot better if there was actually like some new pre-orders to talk about.
True.
Well, there's always fun Taobao stuff.
We could do another Taobao special.
Yep.
Yeah.
True.
I went in on it because I had to miss that one. So
yeah, if you like go pull some Taobao stuff together to do another Taobao special, I'm in.
That's pretty awesome.
But just since Chris did bring it up, episode 20 was out today. Everlastingminute.com.
Excellent.
I had to bring it up because it's just the craziest thing that I know you do.
John, you there?
Besides come here sometimes.
Sometimes.
How do people get a hold of you?
That John D everywhere.
Do you still need questions for that podcast recording?
Yeah, sure. We haven't recorded it yet. If you have any questions or things you would ever want to know about trademark law, IP borrowing with Transformers toys of other brands or just in general, email or tweet them to TF Radio. And Bill Ray and I will answer them on an upcoming minicast. And then be on the lookout for some other minicasts this spring, summer, where I'm going to do some Mark Maron style interviews with some Transformers luminaries.
I love that. That's a show that I personally have wanted to do for a long time. Basically what you're doing with that. I've never gotten around to doing it. So I'm glad that somebody is. Really cool.
Okay. On the many, many such things on his list.
Yes. Okay. So we will be back next week. Thank you for being here. This is a lot of fun. I'm glad to be back after a week refreshed and energized and whatever.
We missed you.
And I missed you. And I miss Rob Clay. So Rob, we'll see you next week. Hope you're feeling better.
Hey, before we go, there was something I wanted to bring up.
Oh, yes.
Not necessarily Transformers related, but when we were doing our Toy Fair coverage and HasLab announced the Jabba's sail barge.
Thank you.
It passed by a long shot. Like they have.
It's actually 50% over what they needed.
I didn't think it would.
I know.
They hit their goal with 4 days left, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
they're way
so, and then kept going. Yeah.
So, that is awesome.
So yeah, so that means literally any of the figures we ever thought that were
except for Unicron.
Impossible.
Yeah. New Unicron though.
Might be possible now.
Unicron is next.
No, Seacons actually are next.
Seacons.
No, okay. People don't care about Seacons.
Yes, they do. We'll see next
Flying
week.
Purple Griffin is next. I want a Flying Purple Griffin.
I would buy it.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?